Well, Tom and Glenn, why don't you come up here, and I'm going to say a few words. Tom is going to say a few words, and then we'll be turning it over to Glenn in just a moment. So Dr. Tom O'Neill was still looking at back in 19, and I'm saying 98, it might have been 97, looking at moving to Israel with his family. And we had Joel and Carol League were leading a team in Israel to make some final decisions and prayers on how that would look. And we had the opportunity while on that particular trip in Jerusalem to sit down, Joel, Carol, Tom, and I, with Glenn Haynes and hear about Operation Tarshish. So that's, what, 23 years ago. And Joel and Carol, Dolores, have met with Glenn since then. But Tom has recently reconnected with Glenn, and God is connecting them and networking with them in a special way. And we just want to be in on what God's doing on the earth. So I want to say to everyone listening online and here, you are about to enter in and be a part of an end-time sign, biblical sign, that does a couple of things. It shows that we are living in unique times at the end of the earth, and that the Bible is true. Because these ancient prophecies that said Israel, that Jews would be driven from their homeland and then someday be drawn back to their homeland, was really almost like a, you know, that's an impossibility. That doesn't happen in the earth and nations. This doesn't, there's no historical evidence that this could actually happen and come about. And so it just was one of those biblical myths. You take things figuratively, not literally in the Bible. Well, in our generation, folks, we are living and seeing these ancient biblical prophecies fulfilled. To anybody, you just read it, it's there. So you are living in the generation that is seeing these ancient prophecies. So prophecy is a real thing. And if anyone wondered, oh, that's just for, you know, Narnia and for sci-fi movies or something, prophecies, that's ridiculous. No, let me tell you, you can show them that ancient prophecies from God are real and alive today, because they're in the Bible. We're seeing them with our own eyes, where Jewish people who have been scattered through and lived throughout the world are now coming back to Israel since 1948, when the nation was established as a nation again. And it's a privilege to be with Glenn. Glenn has, in his ministry, has assisted around 4,000 Jews from around the world. His wife is a Russian Jew, and they've adopted two Jewish children. They're now in their teen years. And so he has been on ships around the world. He has been doing work in ministry in Europe and in other nations around the world. But God has set him in Jerusalem, in Israel, for such a time as this. And we're so glad, Glenn, to be a part of this today. Tom and his family, Eloise and family, did serve in Israel over a span of 12 years. Is that, have that right? 10 to 12 years? 11 years. And our church was that sending church during those years. And so our hearts are intertwined. We're a spiritual family with the Living Waters and the O'Neill family. And so, Tom, I'm going to ask you to say a few words, and then we'll pray over Glenn.
It is so good to be here back in this atmosphere, to feel the anointing here, feel the love of God here, and just enter into the kind of worship that you all have. I'm blessed. And I want to bring greetings from my family. They are well. Eloise and the children would have been here if that had been the right thing to do. They're just received her parents from South Africa, so that's where they are today. This morning, we sang a worship song in which it was a song of prayer. Arise, O Lord. Isaiah 60 is a foundational verse for Operation Tarshish. It's a foundational chapter. And I'm not going to read the portions that are most specific for Operation Tarshish. But the chapter begins with a different word. And the word is to us. The word is, arise, shine, for your light has come. That is a word from the Lord. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises on you, and his glory appears over you. This is a word to Israel, but it's also a word to all the children of Abraham by faith, and that includes us. And these are times in which people get depressed, they get fearful, but it's a time for us to rise because God is doing things in the earth. This judgment on the earth is a mercy of God to turn us to him and to see his power. And we as believers are entering into the work of God in all of this. And one of the works of God and is the prophetic fulfillment of the return of his people to Israel. There are, 8 or 9 million Jews in Israel now? About 8 million Jews. But there are 6 million in North America, in the West. Jews have come out of the North, out of the former Soviet Union. They've come out of the East. They've come out of the South, Ethiopia. And the remaining part of this prophetic word is for the people that live around us. And Glenn has been called into that ministry. Now, thousands have already come, but I think we are just really on the threshold of seeing what God is doing among the Jewish people of the West. And the birth pains that we're going through now are just the beginnings of what we'll eventually see. The Jews of North America going to Israel. Now, if you were a father or a grandfather and you had a child who lived far away, was content and prosperous and happy in their place but had nothing to do with you, how would you feel about someone who came to them and said, you need to go back to your father? How would you feel about that person? Your heart would be just drawn to them, love them, because that is your heart, to be with your children. And, over the years, Living Waters has just been an amazing, amazing support to my family and loved us, supported us financially and in prayer, but also in fellowship. So many of those visits in Israel were like just taking a shower in blessing. And I want you to pray about being that kind of support for this servant of God here. It has to come from the Lord. But I feel like you could just sit here and listen and hear about what God is doing and be blessed by it. But not take it to heart. And I want you to pray about taking this to heart. All right.
All right, Glenn. Tom, if you'd step back and let Glenn get in here and let's pray for Tom. Stay here as we pray over Glenn right now. Lord Jesus, we receive Glenn as a gift from you today with a message and a teaching from your word, from this servant of the Lord, this teacher of your word, that, Lord God, our eyes of our heart and our minds would see with new revelation, new insight, Lord God, the purposes of God in the earth, where we are in it as an individual, as a family, a spiritual family. And, Lord God, we ask for your anointing on him and on our ears to hear and receive. May your will be done during this time, Lord God, in your precious name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you, Glenn. We receive you. Yes.
Shalom Aleichem. I bring you greetings from Jerusalem, the city of our King. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Riley. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here and to share with you and to those online. All right. There's much to share. I want you to hold on. I want you to hold on to your chairs, to the person next to you, or preferably something that cannot be shaken. Because shakings are coming. Things are shaking. God is doing this shaking. God is going to shake everything. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This is what, and even now these shakings have begun. These shakings are here. Hebrews 12, 26 to 29. We read, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. These words that tell us everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And those shakings have started already. As we look around us, we hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see riots, violence, crime. We see earthquakes. I'm watching Puerto Rico. Every day there are multiple earthquakes in Puerto Rico. We are now in the worst pandemic in over a century, and maybe, possibly ever. But this is what Yeshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus, said would happen when his disciples were on the Mount of Olives. And they asked him about the end times. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 3. As Yeshua was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What was his answer? You know, he didn't even answer their question. The first thing he said was, see to it, you are not deceived. Wow, what does that mean? That means there's going to be great deception in these end times. And we see it even now. Our leaders are being deceived. People are being deceived. And our leaders are making some inappropriate, unacceptable, improper, or unsuitable decisions based on information they're receiving. But Yeshua went on to say, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famine and pestilences in various places, and fearful signs from heaven. And this is what we're experiencing now, especially the pestilence of COVID-19. When we look around us and see all this chaos and turmoil, it is so easy to ask, what is going on in the world right now? Where is God? What is he doing? Well, the prophet Amos gives us the answer, a reassuring answer in Amos 3 verse 7, that God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. He goes on in verse 8, to say, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Well, I'm not a... And this is what the prophet Amos said. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. But then he went on to prophesy. But just remember about that lion. Because I'm going to speak about the lion later on. I want to read Amos 3, verse 7 and 8 again. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Well, what is this end time plan? We can find this amazing answer in the book of Jeremiah. More specifically, Jeremiah chapter 32. Even more specifically, in the verses 36 to 44. But before I read those verses, I want to set the scene. Jerusalem was surrounded, besieged by the Babylonians. Jeremiah was imprisoned in the courtyard of King Zedekiah. Things were looking very bleak. Let me tell you, even worse than the situation in the USA today. And then God tells Jeremiah, he says, the son of his uncle will come asking to buy some land in Anatot. That's the area in Benjamin. Jeremiah 32 verse 9 says, so I bought a field at Anatot from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. But to buy land in Israel at that time, it was totally unrealistic. It's my brother Pastor was saying. But listen to what God said. See how the siege ramps are built up to take the city. Because the sword and famine and plague, the city will be given over into the hands of the Babylonians who are attacking it. What you said has happened. And now you see. Sorry, this is Jeremiah speaking to God. And he's saying the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians. You, sovereign Lord, say to me, buy this field with silver and have the transaction witnessed. This must have seemed a crazy command to him. But who knows, if God says something, believe it and do it. Be obedient. Well, Jeremiah was obedient and bought the land from his uncle's son. Now listen to what God said. Then the word of the Lord, Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the God. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32, 27. And then he goes on to say, you are saying about the city, the sword, famine and plague. It will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will surely gather them, the Jews, from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, Israel, and let them live in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me, and that all will go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. And I add the word again. They're never going to turn away from God again. And now, Jeremiah 32, 41. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land, Israel, with all my heart and soul. Wow. All God's heart and soul? Where else do we read in the Word that God is doing something with all his heart and soul? Nowhere else. Imagine, even when God created the heavens and the earth, everything we see with our eyes, was he using all his heart and soul? It's as though he sat back and effortlessly spoke everything, all of creation, into being. And yet here we see God doing something with all his heart and soul, bringing the Jewish people back to the land. Wow. This must be one, if not the greatest, end time event recorded in the Bible. When God says something once, take notice. When God says something twice, he really means what he says. But if God says something 64 times, woo, you can make sure that he is serious about it and that it's going to happen exactly as he predicts. The Aliyah, who knows that word Aliyah, what it means? Okay, I'll explain to the others. The Aliyah is the return of the Jews to Israel. The immigration back to Israel is mentioned over 64 times in the scriptures. Wow. If you get the website, the Operation Tarshish website, you can find on there, you can see the 74 scriptures all listed. I'll explain a little bit about the Aliyah for those of you who are not aware of it. Aliyah is a Hebrew word meaning going up. And you see, Jerusalem is a city on a hill. And wherever you are, to get to Jerusalem, you've got to go up. That's why you always say going up to Jerusalem. Or making Aliyah to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem was the temple. And that's where the people, three times a year, they were commanded to go up to worship the Lord in Jerusalem in the temple. Well, the temple was on the mount. And I believe there were, first of all, there are 15 Psalms of Aliyah in the Bible. Psalms 120 to 134. You should read them. They're wonderful. And apparently, there were 15 steps going up to the temple. And they used to read one of those psalms on each step as they ascended to the temple. Just a little point. Wherever you went from Jerusalem, you went down. And it was, don't go down to Egypt. Wherever you went to Jerusalem, you went up. But it was to meet the Lord, the God of Israel, in his temple. So it was not only a physical going up, but it was a spiritual going up too. Going up to Jerusalem to meet the Lord. And it's very interesting that the return of the Jews back to the land of Israel is called Aliyah. Because not only is it a physical return to the land, but it is also a spiritual return, the beginning of their spiritual return back to their God, the God of Israel, through their Messiah Yeshua. And we are living in that day and age, brothers and sisters. And this should make you excited. It makes me excited because we see this, this return is happening, living in Jerusalem. I'm seeing Jews from the four corners of the earth, as the prophet Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. He said, I'll bring them from the north and gather them from the south. I'll say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold back. I will bring my children from the east and gather them from the west. Wow. Now, I can get excited. I do get excited. But I can't begin to explain the energy that is in that verse. I will bring the Jews back and plant them in the land with all my heart and soul. There is no way I can explain about that verse. But to explain, to give you a little story about the Aliyah, and hopefully this story will give you a little bit of an idea of the awesomeness, the greatness of this Aliyah. Little Johnny came back from Sunday school. And do you have Johnny's, little Johnny's? Anyway, little Johnny came back from Sunday school. And his mother said to him, "Johnny, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" He said, "Mom, they told us an amazing story. They said Moses got the Israelites and he took them out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea and they didn't know how to cross. So Moses called all his engineers together and they constructed this big bridge over the Red Sea. And all the people got onto the bridge and they crossed over. And then Moses turned around and he could see in the distance Pharaoh coming with his chariots. And so what he did is he called all his demolition experts together. And they put explosives onto the bridge. And when Pharaoh and his soldiers were coming over the bridge, they detonated the bridge and it blew up and all the Pharaoh and his men all fell into the Red Sea and drowned. And his mother said to him, "Johnny, did they really tell you that?" And he said, "No, Mom, but if I told you what they told me, you'd never believe it." Guys, if I had to tell you, or God had to tell us what he's going to do in these end times, we'd never believe it. We'd never believe it. I want to read to you, just a part of Jeremiah 16. Let's read verses 14 and 15. Brothers and sisters, what God is doing in these end times is something truly, truly awesome. Reading in verse 14. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it will no more be said, 'The Lord lives who brought the Israelites, the children of Israel from the land of Egypt.' But 'The Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he has driven them. For I'll bring them back into the land I gave to their forefathers.'" Wow. And this is what's happening. What has God got to do that causes the Jews who have been celebrating Passover for over 4,000 years, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, the water from the rock, clothes and shoes not wearing out for 40 years in the desert, not even to talk about the plagues in Egypt. What has to be greater than that that causes the Israelites to forget about that first exodus from Egypt and only remember this one? Brothers and sisters, we are standing on the brink, on the edge of something mighty that God is going to do. There's already a few million Jews in Israel. But at the moment, there are more Jews living outside. And you know what he says? The prophet Ezekiel 39:28. Says, "I'm bringing them back to this land, not leaving any behind." Wow. Any behind. He's bringing them all back. Who's Jewish in this? Is any Jews here? Brother, start preparing. Start preparing to go back. He's taking you back. Whether you like it or not. He's and listen, I'll talk to you afterwards, but I tell the Jewish people that I meet, go back now, while you can go back with your possessions. Because the time is coming when you're going to have to flee. And you're just going to be going with the clothes on your back. So, speak to me. I'll tell you people to contact. Oh, now I got completely off my off my sermon. Sorry. Okay. Going back to Jeremiah 32. Now we're in 37. This is what the Lord says. As I brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity I have promised them. Once more, fields will be bought in the land of which you say, it is a desolate waste, without people or animals, for it has been given into the hands of the Babylonians. Fields will be bought for silver, and deeds will be signed, sealed, and witnessed in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah and the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills and of the Negev, because I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. Wow. This is such an amazing word. This was said before Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, and it remained desolate for nearly 2,000 years. In 1881-82, the Jews started coming back to the land. May 1948, Israel became a nation again. Since then, millions of Jews have returned to their land. And my wife and I purchased property in the territory of Benjamin. Today it's in Jerusalem. Exactly as Jeremiah predicted would happen. Wow. When I realized that we were fulfilling prophecy. Jeremiah said it at a time that it looked so bleak. And yet it's happening today. Brothers and sisters, the Aliyah is one of the proofs that God exists. And that His word is true. And can be relied on. The Aliyah, the fact, you know, God spoke through Moses the first time about the Aliyah. Deuteronomy 30, verse 4. He said, even if you've been scattered to the most distant lands under heaven, from there God will gather you and bring you back to this land. Wow. Moses led the first Exodus out of Egypt. He didn't get into the land. Because the Aliyah is a very holy thing. But he spoke about this Aliyah nearly 3,000 years ago. He said it would happen. And today, brothers and sisters, we see it happening right, unfolding right before our eyes. And if you want to know where you are, just how far we are in this Bible, how far we've got left to go, look to Israel. And more specifically, look to Jerusalem. And even more specifically, look to the Temple Mount. Because that, I believe the temple has to be rebuilt before our Lord returns. That's another sermon. And some other people might stone me for it. But okay. Yeah, God said through the prophet Ezekiel that he's bringing all the Jews home, not leaving any behind. How many Jews are there living in the land today? I've been asked. And you know what my answer is? Tonight, go outside and look at the stars. Count them if you can. This is what no one knows. No one knows how many Jews there are. But God does. And he's bringing them all home. And this is amazing. But now, if all the Jews are coming back, people come and ask me, where are they going to all live? Yeah, Israel is too small for them. I've said, you've said exactly what the prophet Isaiah said to God. Listen, Isaiah 49, verses 19 to 21. Though you are ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you'll be too small for your people. Those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? But these, where have they come from? 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. I'm thankful that my in-laws did not perish in the Holocaust. Otherwise, I wouldn't be married to a beautiful daughter of Zion today and have two wonderful girls. But 6 million died. And Israel is saying, well, where are all of these that have come back? The land of Israel is not the size that God promised to the Jews. It's much bigger. Much bigger. Who of you have gone to Israel? Okay, a few of you. Who of you have got any Israeli coins that you've kept? Do you remember the 10 Agarot piece? It's the smallest denomination. It's like 10 cents, but it's worth much less. Well, behind the menorah, you see a shape. That shape is the prophetic size of Israel promised to the Jews by God in the Bible. Not many people know that. But let me tell you, that is much bigger than present-day Israel. In fact, we know that it goes up to the river Euphrates in the north. It goes down to the Wadi of Egypt in the south. No one knows really where the Wadi of Egypt is, but one thing we do know for sure, it's somewhere in Egypt. So it comes from the Mediterranean, right across. Who knows? It's huge. That little sign, that little coin, it's got no lines of latitude or lines of longitude. So you can't tell how big it is. But let me tell you, it's huge. And if the world is complaining over the West Bank, that Israel is occupying the West Bank, can you imagine one day when they see this? But the Jews have to come back. And you see what's going on in Syria at the moment, and many of them are fleeing. Well, God is opening up the land. They're going to come to fields that they did not plant. They're coming to houses that they did not build. But didn't the Word say something about this? Yes. Okay. I see time watching on this, and there's so much to share. Okay, I'll very quickly go through some things. Got until 12? Okay. The Lord had me start Operation Tarshish in 1991 when a 60-foot fiberglass schooner sailed into Haifa Harbor on its way up to Odessa to bring Jews out of Odessa, the land of the north. You draw a line straight through from Jerusalem. Before it goes, reaches the North Pole, it goes through Ukraine and Russia. And almost hits Moscow. So God had me start Operation Tarshish in 1991 with this ship, a 60-foot fiberglass schooner, that sailed into Haifa Harbor. And because it was a ship, God gave me, I believe, Isaiah 60 verse 9 about the ships of Tarshish bringing his sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And up until now, God has helped, God has brought about 4,000 Jews back to Israel through Operation Tarshish. I trust that he'll bring a lot more. Actually, I was asking the Lord a little while ago, what's Operation Tarshish? It's just such a small ministry, and we haven't done much. There's ministries like the Christian Embassy and others that have brought back thousands of Jews. You know, what is Operation Tarshish, and what can it do that these other organizations are not doing? And then I believe God took me back to the verse on which Operation Tarshish was founded, Isaiah 60 verse 9. And he said, surely the islands look to me in the lead of the ships of Tarshish. And by the way, it was from an island of Bermuda that this 60-foot schooner came from. So the islands were looking to him. Anyway, and so God said, I want you to go to the islands to bring the Jews from the islands. You know, we wanted to go, Tom and I, we wanted to go to Puerto Rico, where there's 3,000 Jews on that island. And 3,000 Jews on the Dominican Republic. 9,000 Jews living in New Zealand. And they've all got to come home. There's a little island off England, the island of Scilly. I think it's a silly name, but sorry. There's four Jews living on that island. Just four. But they've got to come home. And there's no big airliner that's going to go into Scilly. It's just a tiny little island. But they've all got to come home. And this is one of the reasons I believe God established Operation Tarshish to bring the Jews home from the islands. Okay. Woo. COVID-19. Oh, what is it happening? No planes can fly to Israel. During the crisis, and I thought, wow, no planes, but boats. Little boats and ships could still come in. I thought, wow. Because people would say, well, how many can your boats carry? I felt a little bit belittled and humbled. Well, they can hold about 100 people, you know, on the deck. It can sleep about six. But, you know, I went to Yad Vashem and I saw a little rowing boat, a little tiny little rowing boat from here to the organ. And that boat, together with others, helped rescue 6,000 Danish Jews. Wow. How did they do it? Well, it was fishing season. They hid the Jews under nets. They covered them with nets. And they rowed out to bigger ships waiting offshore that took them to the safety of Sweden. And that's how I believe it's going to happen again. You know, people have given me the name Dunkirk to explain how this this rescue would take place. Some of you older folks will remember Dunkirk. They actually called them the little ships. Oh, gee, and I forget the numbers. But these group of little ships helped rescue 33,000 British soldiers that were trapped on the shores of France, that were about to be annihilated. They had no way of going in and getting them, rescuing them. Bigger ships, they were being bombed by the Nazis and taken out, torpedoed. And also, it was a very, if anyone's seen the movie, there's two movies. One is called Dunkirk, and the other one is called The Greatest Hour. It's about Churchill over that time. Great movies. I found them very interesting. Look, the coast in France is very shallow. And so big ships couldn't come in. They couldn't reach them. People could walk out about 2 kilometers, wade out to climb onto the ships. And I realized that's where those little boats sailed in and rescued those people and sailed them out. And I believe that this is going to happen again with Operation Tortoise. COVID-19, how is that affecting Israel? At the moment, no foreigner can fly into Israel. No foreigner. I suppose some of you, like Tom, that's wanted to go there, can't. But there's one, they make one exception. Any Jew that wants to make Aliyah, they will allow to come in. They have to make 14 days quarantine, like I will have to do when I get back. But you know what? After 14 days, they will come out as full citizens of Israel. And they will be fulfilling prophecy. Prophecy, the prophetic word of God. Although the Jews can't get in, some of them can't even get to places to leave for Israel. But Nefesh B'Nefesh is a Jewish organization helping in the Aliyah from North America. They have seen 152% rise in the people opening files for Aliyah. And in June of this year, the Jewish agency in Israel saw 3,359 Aliyah files opened, a whopping 592%. God is shaking the Jews. They're looking at one time. Israel had the best record of the COVID-19 cases. They dealt the best because they locked down. It was very difficult. But it was a very strict lockdown they put us under. And while COVID-19 was around the world, people were looking to the Jews in Israel and saying, that's where we need to be. The Jewish people that are hearing this, please start making Aliyah now. Even if you don't want to go to Israel, start the process. Why? Well, Hosea 12 verse 9. Hosea 12 verse 9 should be one of the reasons why you want to make Aliyah now. Hosea 12 verse 9 says, but I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, I will make you live in. I will make you dwell in tents, as in the days of your appointed feasts. So, to my Jewish brethren, if you want to go back now while you can still buy an apartment. I live overlooking the Judean. The Judean desert. I'm very sure that one day I'm going to look out and it's going to be covered in tents. But with all these Jews coming back, they're not going to be able to build apartments fast enough. And they're going to have to live in tents again, as in the days of the appointed feast. Where are they going to get their water from? Where are they going to get food from? I believe in the morning, as I look out over the Judean desert, I'm going to see little things on the floor. And I'm going to say, what is it? Manna. I believe we're going to see manna again, coming down to feed those millions of Jews when they come back. We're going to see greater things than what happened at the time of Jesus. We are going to see awesome things happening. Brothers and sisters, you need to get behind this. Please. Okay. Now, there's lots I want to share. But things are happening. What is keeping the Jews in America? Well, many things and different things for different people. But generally, comfort, health, family and friends, money. What has this coronavirus just done? It's caused a plague and a virus, making people feel very uncomfortable. That deals with the comfort reason. There was lockdown. The coronavirus itself deals with the health issue. Lockdown, when you can't see anyone. That deals with the family and friends issue. Could be hyperinflation from this virus. Or collapse of the money system. And that deals with the financials. But God wants his people back. He is sending fishers and hunters. Jeremiah 16, verse 16. And one of the hunters that God is using is this coronavirus case. Okay. I don't know what's going to happen, but a lion is going to roar. A lion is going to roar. Let us go back to Hosea, and I want you to read Hosea 11, verse 10. Hosea 11, verse 10. They will walk after the Lord. Jews in America are walking after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons will come trembling from the west. Wow. Brother and others, Jews that can hear my voice, before you come trembling from the west, come while you still can. Come in confidence. The lion, I don't know what it is. I don't know what that lion is going to be. But he's going to roar. And when he roars, the Jews from America will leave. They will have to leave. So, please don't be forced back to Israel trembling. With just the clothes on your back. Go now while you still can. Okay? It's been a pleasure. If you want to know more, I've got... if you haven't got a brochure, and I forgot to put my email address on the brochure, but please come to me and I'll give you a card and you can be in contact with me, and I would like to be in contact with you. But thank you all. And God bless you.
All right. Lee, can you stay here just a second? Stay here a second. Praise team, if you could go ahead and come up. I actually want to do at least one Q&A, one question. Glenn often speaks in conferences and seminars where he has a Q&A time. But help us, Glenn. So, there's a Jewish person in Russia or a Jewish person in Puerto Rico, let's say, and you're wanting to visit there. So what is happening in their heart, and then what happens practically that you and your team may actually be a part of? I mean, what is the journey like for someone that goes back to Israel?
First of all, it's God that's doing this. It's God that's working in the hearts. I ask people, why are you here? The Russians say, well, oh, it's because of the economy or whatever. And people, even Chernobyl, I've asked people different things. I've asked American Jews in Israel, why are you here? Some of them have left good jobs. And they say, I don't know. And I say, well, I know. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in them. When they come back to Israel, the very first thing they do, they've got to learn the language. Because once they learn the language, they can get a job. Once they've got a job, they can earn an income. Once they earn an income, they can afford a place to live in. So that's the first thing they do. When Jews come to Israel, they put them through an ulpan, which is the language school. So, and that's how it is. So we don't work with helping them once they get to the land. The mandate God has given Operation Tarshish is just to bring them to the land.
So you're helping, let's say, in Puerto Rican, the island people, the practical things, the paperwork, the registrations, the approvals. So you're helping them connect and get the process going, get open doors for them, that kind of thing.
Operation Tarshish was first working in Russia. We were working there for a number of years, and that's where we bought the 4,000. It's from Russia. And because the Jewish agency, the Russians are fairly poor, and the Jewish agency flies them free of charge to Israel if they're making Aliyah. And so all we need to do, we need to help them with passports, photos, to get whatever they need to get them to the point where they can leave for Israel. And, you know, we think a passport is not much. Right? We don't think about it. But for a Russian, that's month's salary. That's a number of months' salary. So we don't realize here in the West, we are blessed, but not those Russians. The Jews from Ethiopia, some of them came barefoot. They didn't even have shoes. So anyway, so we're helping them with whatever they need. And we're from the islands. Now we start working from the islands. Our tactics are going to have to change a bit. But it's going to, first of all, be telling them about Israel, that they need to go, and then helping them and facilitating the transfer.
All right, I tell you what, I want us to pray a blessing over Glenn and Operation Tarshish. Remember, we have these boxes in the back for you to give both your tithes and offerings, and then you can notate and still write the check to Living Waters, but to the special speaker or Operation Tarshish. If you're online, do the same. We have a drop-down menu on the online page there on our website for the special guest as well. Lord Jesus, it is a privilege to be a part of this important ministry. And Lord, we will agree with Glenn and his wife Bella and his children and his team, Lord God, that the islands are open doors to Operation Tarshish. Lord, that those on the islands and other divine connections will happen, Lord God. That, Father, provisions will come as you are fulfilling your prophetic destiny over these people in the end times, Lord God. Father, that you will confirm for them over and over again that you're speaking this to them and that, Lord, you'll provide for them. Lord, we pray for shalom for them, for peace and all the obstacles that stand before them. And, Lord God, that they would have peace about it, Lord God, and receive your provision every step back to the land. Lord God, we pray for your blessing of shalom over Glenn and his wife Bella and children, Lord, that they would have shalom. They would have nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything as it should be, Lord God, that they would know health. They would know long life, that they would have no prosperity in abundance, Lord God. Father, we pray, Lord God, for, Lord God, those open doors and divine connections for Operation Tarshish. And Lord, we send from our Living Waters blessings over to them. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are more than enough for us. Thank you in these uncertain times. You are strong. You are mighty. You are sure. You have not changed. And so we trust you into this week. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the many blessings of shalom over us, our marriages, our families, our children, our children's children, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we go in this week with your provision and peace over us. And it's so good to bless Israel and the Jews. We know, Lord, there's a promise of your word that we will be blessed back as we are generous and blessed, give a blessing to Israel. in the Jews. Hallelujah. Have a great week.